Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris with the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. My guest today is Todd Vinson. Todd is a friend of several years, and he's been on some of our past podcast episodes. So, Todd, I'm glad to have you here today. Normally, my wife, Christina, is with me, but she's ill today and she needs rest, which is interesting because the first topic we're going to talk about is the importance of rest. So, Todd, if you would, tell the audience some things about yourself, business-wise, personal, whatever you want to share, and then we'll get into this topic on rest that you've written about recently.
Absolutely. First, thanks for having me back. Man, we're right across the highway from each other on a Zoom call. That's what it's taken for us to get reconnected with some busy schedules. I am in a new season now. I started a consulting group, I guess, in 2022 called Overlander Consulting. So really helping other people to have some self-awareness, lead themselves so they can lead other people around them better. I think maybe I can do that because I've had 30 years of experience of not doing it quite so well. Had the opportunity to found and operate Willow Springs Boys Ranch for 20 years up in Chandler, and then between Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and out on historic Route 66. And then out of that, my garage there, started roasting coffee and founded Iote Coffee that's in downtown Auto Alley in Oklahoma City. So a lot of what I do with people now is from my experience of maybe what not to do, or there's a better way to do it.
Todd, we met several years ago, but one of the things that always resonates with me about you is your choice you've made to be incredibly transparent about your own journey. Mm. You've been really successful in some areas and you've really struggled in some areas, which is so normal. We all have both successes and failures, and we have struggles and challenges. Unfortunately, I haven't met a whole lot of men who have the courage to step up and say, guys, man, this is difficult. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. And you have taken the lead in that in some areas and been so transparent. And these are reasons that I enjoy being your friend, but also enjoy you being on this podcast, because the Real Life Mentoring Podcast, the purpose of this is to give people some tools and some stories and some experiences about how to learn to be an effective mentor to deeply impact another person's life, to help them draw close to God and discover God like they've never known before, and to help them in all six areas. So our niche is this. We focus on all six areas of a person's life: the spiritual, the physical, mental, emotional, relational, professional, and or educational. They all impact one another. And so just what we're going to be talking about today impacts probably each of those areas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if you're not leading yourself, you sure can't do that well with other people. You're going to get a substandard product.
And I've experienced that firsthand. And you asked me earlier, as we're preparing to record this episode, how are you doing? And I told you, I feel tired and a bit stressed this morning. And yet we're going to be talking about, give us the title today.
Yeah, just the power of rest.
The power of rest. That resonates with me because I realize how much I need it. So here's a statement that you wrote. We live in a world that idolizes hustle, but what if rest was actually the secret weapon? Okay, talk about that with us.
Well, I think that whole thing is just a concept of operating out of overflow. Anytime I can use a good coffee analogy, I like to use one. So I think about, man, if you're out somewhere and you've got a great big Carlisle, 5-gallon container of some really good coffee, and you're serving people 16-ounce cups, but you've got someone behind you sneaking in and just refill on that container 12 ounces at a time, it looks really good for a long time till you get down to the bottom, and then you realize that you're giving out so much more than what you're putting in. And that was really my story for about 30 years. It looked really good because the coffee kept flowing, but the level on that tank kept getting lower and lower and lower. And so I think a lot of that was, for me, it was out of some self-preservation. I wanted people to think that I had it all together. And for about 30 years, I kept that facade up because I thought I had something to lose. I thought I had something to prove, and a whole lot of fear of being found out that I was just an imposter. And none of those things were true, but those are the things, the thoughts that are going through your head in your 20s and 30s when you're trying to prove yourself in whatever field that you're in, is that, you know what, living in this part of the country, is that we just bootstrap it and hustle, then we'll be fine. But at some point that breaks down and it's not sustainable. And that's where I found out that I didn't rest very well. There wasn't a lot of overflow, but there was a lot of outflow. But those are two different things.
What I know about you, I don't think you weren't trying to be fake. You weren't trying to have a facade. It's what you knew. Is that fair to say?
And you're just pushing forward. Yeah, I think so. Deep down, I think that's really who, not even wanted to be, but I think that's really, that was my true motive. I went about it. I didn't go about it the best way long-term.
Okay. You made me think of this illustration. So a few days ago, we had to have a new washer and dryer delivered. Our other one went out. Well, they're going to deliver it. And I start looking around at our laundry room, which is off of our kitchen. And I began to realize, oh boy, I've got preparation to do before they even deliver it. So there's the door that goes into the laundry room from the kitchen. Well, this large refrigerator sits right at that entryway. And it's an older house. So when this house was built, the refrigerators weren't as large. So what happened, this refrigerator sticks out a little too far for the old washer and dryer to come out of that door and new ones to go in. So I realized, okay, I've got to move this refrigerator out of the way by myself. So I was able to maneuver that thing. And this is why I'm sharing this story. When I moved the fridge away from the wall into the side, the people who owned the house before had painted the kitchen a nice light gray with white trim. It looks really nice. What I discovered behind the refrigerator, there was no trim at the back wall. It had been removed. Only so far down on the wall was nice gray paint. The rest was an ugly yellow. Even the white trim was only painted white until you could not see it where the fridge sat. I realized, wow, life is so much that way.
Yeah.
It looks good from the front.
Yeah.
But when you pull it out and you realize there's some, it's ugly back there. It wasn't taken care of properly.
Yeah. And not to mention the 20 years of Lent and everything else back behind there.
Yeah. So I had a lot of cleanup to do, but I was really struck with, like, man, the facade sometimes, and we don't even mean to have that. So take us away with this topic on unrest and how that's really resonated for you.
I don't know that I'm an expert on rest, but I have a little bit of knowledge on what happens if you don't rest well. I think the hustle bootstrap routine that I was in for years was that, man, you dream big, you pushed hard, you know, really had a solo mentality. I didn't realize, and maybe it was the generation that we grew up in the 70s, 80s, that was a lot more individualistic than maybe the team approach is now. I really had to work myself to the end of myself to realize that I couldn't do it all by myself. And one thing I didn't factor into the equation was rest. When I would go on hiking and camping trips with my buddies, they all made fun of me because I couldn't sit still. We'd be on a amazing campsite by an alpine lake or a stream, and they're all, you know, sitting there with their coffee, lean back and just going, oh, I'm hustling, gathering more wood. So when that fire burns out, I'm already doing this, I'm doing that. And everyone would just look at me like this and they'd kind of laugh. My buddy Skip goes, hey, just let him go. That's just what he does. And I realized later that, you know what? Everyone else was sitting and enjoying the fire and the moment. And I was busy being Martha, Martha, Martha. I was getting stuff done instead of sitting down and enjoying the journey, which is the main reason I named my company Overlander. It really wasn't for anybody else. It was for me. And it was to have a constant reminder that it's about the journey as much as it is the destination. And so learning to rest, my friend Jeremy Kubitschek talked about having markers throughout your day. I think I learned after I, you know, metaphorically burned up my transmission that instead of waking up in the morning with just free flowing anxiety, what if I got the first thing I thought about was the things that I was grateful for not all the things that I had to accomplish, not all the deadlines, not all the budgets, not worrying about financials or deliveries or this event or that. But what if I just woke up and started out my day being grateful? What if that first cup of coffee, I didn't get on my phone? What if I just sat there in my chair or on the back porch and just was still and quiet? And people that know me, anything about me at all, knows that still and quiet are not my two best attributes. And so I've really had to work on, you know, the book from Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. So I can go ahead and hijack my day by looking at the text or the email you sent me at 6:30, or I can have some boundaries in my life and wait till 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning before I check those. And the rhythm the last few years that I've tried to incorporate is that first cup of coffee. It's just me and that cup of coffee and just being still and quiet. And I'm a sipper. So, you know, if it takes me 25 or 30 minutes to get that first cup, then that's how long it takes for me to, you know, get awake, get my mind right, just enjoy God's presence. And so starting my day that way, and then at the end of my day, just kind of examine my day, you know, what went well, what could I have done better, what needs to roll over in tomorrow, and have that conversation in my car, you know, driving home before I pull up in my driveway, and have some point of my drive home that I have gone through all that and I can just kind of breathe deep, maybe listen a little Chris Stapleton on the way home. And by the time I roll up into the driveway, I can be present and gotten my blood pressure down or slowed my mind down to a lower gear, and just come in and be tied, be present for my wife and whatever kids are at home. And I mean, that took me from 46 when I had my crash to my mid-50s to go through and be rewired to operate at a different pace and it not always just be in overdrive mentally or physically.
Okay, you mentioned coffee, and I want to ask you this. You mentioned you learned to sip coffee. Is that mm-hmm. right? Okay, that sounds maybe silly to some listeners, but it's not. Okay, my family and I lived in Austria for 9 years. Coffee is a big deal there. You go, it's what you do. Yeah. It's a social thing.
Yeah.
Right. But I would get this cup of coffee, and when I first moved there, and I would drink that, it would be gone quickly.
You shotgun it like a beer, like you're a college student.
Like a beer or a glass of water. I'm thirsty. Anyway, and I'm sitting there going, okay, we're going to be in this cafe for 2 hours talking. And I drank my coffee within the first 5 minutes. What's mm-hmm. interesting, I learned to sip my coffee. And that may sound silly to some people, but guys, look at your life and say, what's some evidence that I have difficulty resting? Slowing down. Yeah. It could be enjoying a beverage. And that was me. I would down that coffee mm-hmm. and it's finished with, and I'm checking things off. Not that I don't, you can do that sometime in a day and it's important and necessary, but I could look at simple things in my life and realize I don't rest well.
Yeah. And that's an easy way to have some self-regulation too, to do that. And just, you know what, I'm going to intentionally, even though it's hard, I'm going to operate in a different gear and at a different pace here than what my normal default is.
I think you'll relate to this. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, so I have a relationship with the Lord. I mean, I'm so grateful for it. And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm thinking about how my mind works sometimes. And I have never been diagnosed with anxiety, but I've dealt with being anxious. Okay.
Yeah. Just an emotion.
This came to mind. I know the Lord gave this to me. You know, when a car is, it's running, but the idle's slightly off, but it runs, okay? You're going down the road. Over time, that's not good for the engine. Something's off, but it may be very mm-hmm. slight. That's what I've discovered has happened in my life sometimes. This mm-hmm. anxiety is not full-blown or it's so evident, mm-hmm. but it's like a low idle inside my body and mm-hmm. mind, and it's actually wearing on me, Todd. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like a light on a dashboard. And are we going to address that when we're driving down the road or at a stoplight and we feel it doing that? You know what? It's almost like that vehicle's got anxiety. It's sitting here at the light doing that. And what a picture of what, you know, would go on with me throughout my day. I would catch it, but then instead of addressing it, or man, I wonder why that's happening. I would just ignore it and just keep on going and shift up into third and fourth gear and into overdrive and not ever have any self-examination why that might be.
And, you know, occasionally we have to do that in this life, right? We have to, mm-hmm. if your car is going down the road and it's the yeah. idle slightly off, you know, I remember just, well, I'll just floor it, get that fuel running through the system, push it.
Yeah, just clean it out.
Clean it out. Occasionally that's okay, but I don't want to live that way anymore.
No. Arthur C. Brooks has got a book out. I think it's called From Strength to Strength. And it talks about how we live our life. And the first half of our life is what he calls fluid intelligence. And so it's our natural gifts and abilities. And okay. Sometimes we can just tip the gas to the floor and just go. But you can't do that forever. And somewhere in your mid to late 40s, you realize that, you know what, I can go at this pace for a little bit, but I still can't do this all day, every week, or all year long like I once could. And he goes that if you try to stay on that pace, eventually you look up and that productivity just starts to go down. Okay. But if we realize that's not the only curve in life, there's a second curve that is above that, that's called crystallized intelligence, that's called our okay. life experience and our wisdom. And if we can learn how to transition from that first curve up to the second curve, then we can ride that curve clear up into our 80s or 90s. And what that curve is that now we're not doing all the things ourselves. We are, you know, leading other people who are doing those things. And it's exponential growth, it's multiplication. And we're sharing the life experience and the knowledge that we have, not just keeping it to ourselves. And man, I hope these younger guys figure it out. It's sharing those things. I was having coffee in Oklahoma City months ago with Terry Storch, a friend of mine, and he had shared that a guy that mentors him, we were talking about this book, and he said, yeah, my mentor told me, he says, you know what, Terry, the sooner you figure out that your fruit is now growing on someone else's trees, the better off that you'll be. Because it's not all about you anymore. It's somebody else. And so I think God's designed us to live different in different seasons of life. Actually having this conversation this week with a guy and was really being critical. Actually, there's two conversations I've had. One was a guy that was having a conversation with someone else, and the guy calls him out and he says that, you know what, if you talk to me the way that you talk to yourself, you and I would not be friends.
Wow.
And I thought about that and gone, oh, wow, I do that to myself goodness. All the time. I would never talk to you the way I talk to myself in my head. The second part of that conversation, now being 58, I've forgotten what the second part of that conversation was. But it really was like, oh, wow, the way I live cannot be the same. I've got to operate different. I was thinking about you yesterday. I think I even sent you this link. With what you do in mentoring, Jeremy and Steve Cockrum just came out with this book called The Voice-Driven Leader. And so it's talking about mentoring, you know, how you go through the square and how you do that. Well, you've got to be good at that, whatever that thing is, first yourself, and you've got to have some self-awareness yourself. And then you're letting someone else come alongside you to come with you and observe. Eventually you let them do it a little bit. Eventually they get good enough that they're doing it and you're watching. But some point in there, we all realize that, oh, I'm not really as good as this as I thought I was. And if you just get left there, you can fall into what they call the pit of despair.
Okay.
And I think that's the critical moment that, you know what, do we leave you in the ditch or leave you down in the pit? Or does that person that's got some life experience, some wisdom and care, throw down the ladder or even go down the ladder and grab you, bring you up? Hey, let's back up a little bit. Let's assess here. Let's see why you're experiencing anxiety or why you're struggling in executing whatever this task is in your field. And then not just leaving them there, but bringing them around that at some point in life, they're the expert and now they're doing that with someone else. And that's called multiplication. And that happens because we've got some self-awareness. We know ourselves. We know what our, you know, what our tendencies are, that, you know what, I run really hard. I need to learn and put some things in that allows me to rest and sip that coffee like you just did and not chug it down because we've got to go out and put the gloves on and go get busy. And so having some tools, I mean, it's easy for some folks just to start worshiping the tool. It's like, you know, it's not about the tool, it's about transformation. So what do I do with the tool? I got a lot of tools in my garage that never get used, or I can't find the battery or the wrench to tighten the chain or have the right fluids to make sure they're lubricated. And I think that's what I found in my own life that, man, I would go really hard, but I wouldn't take care of the equipment. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I wouldn't pull the fridge out and clean behind it. And so I think that, you know, going back to the topic of rest, it's like, you know what, I've got to, I can get on my calendar here and there'd be no white space left in my calendar, but man, I've got to have white space in my calendar. That's for me. It's for the people that are most important to me in my life. It's my wife, my kids, my son-in-laws now. I've got to create some rhythms that are sustainable. And the way I lived in the past wasn't sustainable.
I used to think I had a successful week if my calendar had no white space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at this. Look what I accomplished. And then I would be, not anymore, but I'd be a bit surprised when I'd hit a brick wall the next week and go, wow, but I did so well last week. What's happened to me? Yeah. Well, you know what's happened? I'm human. Let me give the statement again. We live in a world that idolizes hustle. But what if rest was actually the secret weapon?
Yeah.
So you talk about physical rest, emotional rest, and mental rest. And then you have some questions here that I want the audience to be thinking about. So you've touched on it some, but talk about physical rest, restoring the body. What comes to your mind?
It takes time. There's no other way that you can get around that than time. I mean, you go run a marathon, you don't go, unless you're just a handful of freakish people that can run a marathon a week, you've got to have some rest. And I didn't do that very well. In fact, this was the second part of that conversation that I remember that I'll tie into this here, was that in 50-somethings now, I would look back in my 20s and 30s and I would be really critical. Oh, I should have done that. I should have known to do that. Well, how in the world would I have known that in my 20s and 30s? If I were to take that same mindset and apply it to a 12-year-old and look at them running around doing 12-year-old stuff, I wouldn't be critical of them not making adult decisions and adult choices. Because at 12, you don't have the experience. You don't have the frontal lobe. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the wisdom. There's no way that you could do that, make an adult decision at 12. For some of us, man, we can't do that at 18 or early 20s. And so understanding that I've got to extend some grace to myself, man, it's like, okay, I can't run like this all the time. I need to, man, even my Oura Ring, I went hard yesterday and it even gave me some biofeedback. It's, wow, you had a hard day yesterday. Maybe
it did
this morning. Yeah, I said maybe, which it was shocked that I had a busy day yesterday. It was like, if this could bust out, you know, some sarcastic British wit and humor, he's like, oh my gosh, what in the world did you do yesterday? Well, actually, I had an active day yesterday. And it showed that my heart rate was elevated when I went to bed. And it wasn't because I had a whole lot to eat before I went to bed, or I drank a crazy amount of coffee or alcohol or fill in the blanks. Just the biometrics showed, you know, the lights on my dashboard that you pushed it hard yesterday and it was going, good job. But you know what? Today you might want to maybe shift down a little bit and only do what you feel like your body's capable of doing. And that's just biofeedback. I mean, that's not, it's just a piece of information. It's just a data point. It's not positive or negative. And so realizing that my body needs rest, it needs restorative rest physically, mentally. And I just cut that out of the equation. I did not rest. And really, I think a lot of it, looking back, was just nervous energy. But I didn't know it at the time. No, across the board, actually. I worked out yesterday. I did a few other things. And physical exercise has been something that's been lacking the last several years. And so I've gotten on a plan. And so my Oura Ring was shocked yesterday that you've actually done this 3 days in a row. Days in a row doesn't make a habit, by the way. I mean, when you talk to me next month and I've still done it, then we might be working on some new habits. But you've got to make a habit of rest.
Would you have considered yesterday a good day?
Yeah, it was. Okay.
that's important for people to understand.
Yeah.
You can have a really great day, but your aura, what's it called again?
Aura, O-U-R-A. I think it was from Sweden.
We give you some data that says you probably overdid it, even though you think, but I had a great day. That's good. Even a great day can wear your body down some. So you have on here, you sent me some information. Physical rest restores the body. Okay.
Yeah.
I know this, and yet I will ignore that sometime, depending on what's going on. When we sleep, we heal, muscles rebuild, hormones balance, and we have clarity.
Yeah.
My goodness, if there's any reason that I need to go to bed early sometimes or sleep in, whatever, and get over my guilt, then if I could look at those things, my body's restored, my body heals, muscles rebuild, hormones are balanced, and clarity returns. You know who would else appreciate this? My wife and my family.
Our wives, yeah. And not have this cup of coffee at 9:30 or 10 before I go to bed and wonder why my mind never shut off all night.
Okay, physical rest is so completely tied into the emotion. So you have your emotional rest. It allows us to breathe. It gives space to name what we're feeling instead of stuffing it down or numbing it out, you say. I have been so physically tired, and then I go, why are my emotions so up and down today? Why am I struggling mentally so much? And it's tied into a lack of physical rest. Even having really good days. We took a trip recently out of state, well, as of last week, for a wedding, friends we knew overseas. And just driving time alone was 13 hours in the car. That's not stopping or anything like that. A long,
we drove just drive. Through.
Yeah. And we're with family. We love being together. We listened to great music. We talked, we laughed, had a great time. Then we did the wedding, preparation of the wedding, seeing people, drove straight back 3 or 4 days later. And I find myself really tired. The emotional, I find myself kind of sad and discouraged. I go,
yeah, those are all good events, but it's still stressful. It's still wear and tear on your body and your emotions.
It still wears us down. So that's something I had to learn later in life because I just didn't get it.
Well, and you've learned it. And that's where Richard Rohr talks about falling upward. Okay, if I know that, I've gone hard or I've got to have a sprint here for a period of time. I've also got to book in some rest because I know what happens if I don't do that. I do get sick or I am got brain fog or I start battling anxiety. And so I've got to book some time in. And I think there's the other ditch. There's being lazy and not doing anything. And we don't want to be in either ditch. We want to be going down the middle of the road. And so I think being aware of that, what are my tendencies? What are my patterns? And instead of just putting some electrical tape over that light on my dashboard that says anxiety, maybe I actually address that. Oh, you need to book in some rest. And maybe rest isn't the issue for everyone, but it is for a lot of people. We're overstimulated. We're overdriven. My daughter just moved to London. They're talking about the time off and vacation time they have off. She was, oh my gosh. It's like, you know, I might have a week or 10 days off a year here in the States. And they've got regular rhythms of rest built into their culture that a lot of the Western culture does not have.
That's the way it is in Austria when we lived there. In fact, most people, you start a new job, most people get a month's vacation from the beginning. That's not even on the radar with companies in the U.S.
Yeah. How many years do you have to work here before you have a month's vacation?
Maybe 2 weeks.
Or actually take it. Yeah. Or take the month. Yeah.
Actually, you get paid for, you get some extra pay for your vacation. It's included in your salary package. Now, taxes can be high. I realize there's other elements involved here.
Right.
But the point is, they know how to rest better than we do as Americans, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on in emotion you want to talk about concerning rest?
They're just tied together, and I think our emotions are also tied to our spirituality. And you know, we've got the physical, we got the emotional, we got the spiritual, and I think if we neglect any of those, the one that gets neglected as you look at those has a direct correlation to the impact on the other two. And I think the opposite, the corollary of that is that if I'm healthy physically, I'm disciplined in my diet and my exercise, my emotions are better, I feel like I've got more energy. I feel like I'm more productive. And so if I can get that thing going that way in the positive direction, instead of the way that I typically live this way, and I feel further and further behind, it sounds like really obvious, but man, sometimes our patterns and tendencies are right here in front of our face and everyone can see them but ourselves.
Okay. You gave me some questions for people to think about. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about rest, you talked about the physical rest, the benefits, the purpose of it, emotional rest, mental rest. How would you say you've mentally rested recently?
I've only put 8 hours of work into an 8 hour day instead of maybe 14 or 16 hours of work in an 8 hour day. So that same thing about sipping, I realize there's times that it's giddy up and get stuff done, but that can't be the rule. You've got to have margin. I've got to actually, as much as I like to eat food, I actually have to put eat lunch on my calendar, on my Google calendar. So I'll actually stop and eat lunch and my meal not be 4 cups of coffee and a protein bar that morning and wonder why in the world I'm so amped up. By the time I come home at night and eat like a vulture, it's like, you know what? If I'm doing coaching, I need to have no more than 3 in the morning, no more than 3 in the afternoon, and ideally probably 1 or 2 in the morning and 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And there's other things that I need to slot in there. I don't need to just chalk my calendar full from clocking in to clocking out. So I think that's one thing that's helped me is take a lunch, take a break, do it without your phone on or checking emails, but actually have some downtime for your brain to not always be processing information.
Because I do mentoring for a living and I train others to do the same thing. I really enjoy the aspect of mentoring. However, Todd, I've overdone it with mentoring before. I've scheduled too many guys in a day's time to meet with, because when I meet with guys, we're not talking about surface things. We're talking about real life. And for the most part, almost every time, there's some aspect of a challenge or difficulty or pain or something that needs to be discussed. So it's wonderful that I'm given that kind of trust. But what it's doing, it's also activating my brain, my mind, my emotions, and it settles in my body. And I have actually mentored too many guys in a day's time.
Yeah.
And then you're
spent.
Yes.
You were spent. I did some trauma counseling training this summer and someone asked Marilyn Murray how she was able to do that. So many people and so many heavy top issues. I don't take them home with me. And I read a great quote this morning. Today is Eugene Peterson's birthday. And I looked up one of his quotes and he was just talking about, it's not my job to make people happy or even fix them. It's my job to point them to grace and let them see the opportunity for transformation in their own life. That's the Todd Vincent paraphrase. I totally probably botched up what he said, but what I got out of it was, it's not my job to fix you. It's not your job to fix someone as a mentor. It's to point them to the grace that's happening in their life. And you and I can be gracious to people and we can embody that attribute, but grace only comes from God.
It does.
And I joke all the time that God and Todd rhyme, and that gets me in a whole lot of trouble. God does not have a Todd complex. But often I think it's up to me to make sure that I help someone and they get fixed. And that's not my job. My job is to point them to the grace that God has for them to work in their life. Maybe it's my job to share a tool or an experience that might help them and some self-awareness. But end of the day, that's God's responsibility. And when I'm feeling worn out and tired, I can look back. And if I'm honest, I'm taking on too many things that aren't my responsibility.
Same for me.
It's God's or it's someone else that I've not delegated or trusted someone to do those things. And I think it's all up to me. And you can't Sherpa yourself up the mountain on your own. A sheep can't shepherd itself. Sheep need shepherds, climbers needs guides and Sherpas. And having realistic expectations and knowing what our limits are and having some limits and setting some limits for rest is not weakness or laziness. It's wisdom, knowing that for me to be at my best, I've got to recharge. So I operate from overflow, not from a deficit. And it only took me 30 years to 30 plus years to realize that. I'm 58. So 30 years of doing it suboptimally has got me the point that, you know what, if I will do this different, I'll get some different results.
Todd, it took me a while as well to learn this. And so I do know these things. I'm so grateful for it. It's really made a difference in my life. However, my brain was wired to work, provide, provide, all the do. And so occasionally it's like my brain tries to pull me back into that mode.
Yeah. So you go back into autopilot because that's muscle memory that's learned. It's ingrained in us, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's been ingrained. And so, you know, Dr. Caroline Leaf on just rewiring your brain, I've got to look at those things and I've got to create some new patterns in my life so I don't go back to my default.
So I want to encourage listeners, if this is a struggle of yours, don't beat yourself up. No. You're learning it. When you fall back into old patterns, okay, then you that you would have the self-awareness to realize that and then step back out of it. So I'm gonna give the audience some questions for them to think about as we get ready to close. But things to think about, guys, on this topic of rest. When's the last time you truly rested on purpose? And as you're honest with your own situation, and I mean really rest. If you say, "Well, I took a nap for 15 minutes yesterday," no, we're not talking about that. That's a good thing. But when's the last time you truly rested on purpose? It's like, hey, I've got this task on my job list to do. That's on purpose. When's the last time you actually rested on purpose? Which type of rest are you most in need of right now? Sometimes it's interesting in my work, I talk a lot, Todd, in my work, and I listen a lot. I'm always with people for the most part. Sometimes the best way for me to rest is not to hear any talking at all. What might change if you made it a rhythm, not a reward?
Yeah, you work from rest. You don't rest after you work. And so it's a subtle shift, but it's nuanced, but it's a big deal if we will operate from a position of rest instead of having to earn it. I had an earn it mentality for decades.
Oh, that still visits me occasionally. And I go, hang on. That red light comes on. Then
some people call that a sabbatical. What if I have a regular rhythm each week that I just rest and I trust that those things are going to get scheduled and get worked out Monday through Friday. And I'm going to have a 24-hour rhythm of sabbatical. And if you've never, or Sabbath, I said sabbatical. Sabbath is, you know, a day of rest. You know, if God worked hard for 6 days and then and rested for one day, you know what? What happened if I tried that rhythm?
Well, this comes to my mind. A few weeks ago, my son-in-law was out of town. And so my daughter, who's expecting her second child, early in the pregnancy. And so she's dealing with some morning sickness, things like that. And she's her energy level is on as high, which is normal. But she also has an 18-month-old little boy who's very active and our first grandchild. And so I love being with him. But a few weeks ago, she had her first doctor's appointment and she asked her mother, "Mom, would you be able to go with me?" And she said, "But I don't have anybody for our for my son." And I said, "I can take off work. My work is usually flexible." And so we took off a day and a half and we went up. She lives about 45 minutes north of us. And I got to spend almost 2 days with my grandson. Occasionally, and this is what happened. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I don't have that done with work. I need to get that done. Then I was able to go, okay, hang on, Chris. You have committed some deliberate rest. Now, some people would say hanging out with an 18-month-old is not rest. But actually, it was rest from my work. And I thoroughly enjoyed being with him and my daughter. Yeah. And so I am learning to step into moments like that. Why would I not do something like that?
Yeah. Well, and what we're not saying here is that don't work. You know, we were created to work, but we got to do it from the right position.
Very much
and
so.
We've got to do it from a place of rest. I like the analogy with hockey. I'm not a hockey guy, but I do know that, you know what, you've got to rest your players so you can get out on the ice and be operating at full strength. And that phrase has resonated with me. It's like, oh yeah, how many times am I really going into my day at full strength and not maybe 15 to 40%?
See, you're making me think now. Again. All right, I want to close out with this. You give this statement. I want to deepen the journey, and these are some things you suggest. This week, practice intentional rest and choose one of the following. Take a 20-minute pause, block an hour for a screen-free walk, schedule time to journal what you're thinking and feeling. That one helps me a lot. Then guard it like your health depends on it, because it actually does. Rest is not weakness. It's actually wisdom. Todd, are you a lazy man?
When I actually do those things, when I actually do the things that I gave you the list, I feel lazy when I first do them. But as I've started over the last probably 3 years getting better at that, I feel less lazy and less guilty.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you that again. You can only answer yes or no. Are you lazy?
No.
I'm not lazy either. Can we be lazy sometimes?
Sure.
That's normal and that's healthy, but we're not lazy men. What I know about you, you're not lazy. I'm not a lazy person, but when I start trying to rest intentionally, it can feel lazy, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. So just that we would recognize in that one in one another. Okay. Any last thoughts before we close?
Yeah. As you read that list, I was like, you know what? I still struggle with those things. I've got to be intentional and I've got to make the effort to do it. Those things, even 36 months of some different habits, I still have to be very intentional. It doesn't happen automatic. You know, it was over 30 years of patterns the other way. And so I am still in the process of doing it different. And so I would say extend some grace to yourself. And when you don't do it like you want to, you know what? There's another opportunity. There's another opportunity this afternoon. There's another opportunity tomorrow. You know, we got another weekend coming. So just start working to think different, have some self-awareness. And you know what? This is what I normally do. How can I trade up today? How can I trade up this month, this quarter, and start tracking those things? I think one of the things that I've learned is that for so long being future driven, I'm always looking to the horizon. I can't measure progress on the horizon because that sucker keeps moving, but I can look back to this last week or yesterday. Yeah. I just told you I've worked out 3 days this week. I don't get a medal for that. It's like, but I can track it and I can celebrate it. So, you know, what's the one thing I can do today? You know, it's James Clear and Atomic Habits. What's the one thing that I can do to trade up today that allows me to experience some rest? And I think when we have rest and we have peace, and then we have peace, we have hope. And so you start stacking those things on and you can look up and go, oh, wow. I'm feeling a little different today. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. I wonder why. Well, first of all, you've sat there long enough for him to land on your shoulder. This is the first thing, but learn how to do that. And man, then when we start operating from overflow, it's a whole different experience.
Okay. So we've talked about rest, and you mentioned learning to have a rhythm of exercise. And I've been very, I don't want to say disciplined.
And I'm the worst, by the way. Just ask Jeannie. I'm the worst at being consistent now. I was running half marathons and marathons and did all these things in the past, but I've been about on a 12-year sabbatical or a 12-year taper of not running. So I've got to get back into those things.
All right.
And you feel better when you do it.
I have been consistent in working out for the last several years. Something clicked one day for me. And so now when I go to the gym, I actually look forward to it most of the days. But here's how this ties in with rest. Yesterday, I've not been to the gym because we traveled. I've not been to the gym in over a week. So I wanted to go yesterday, but instead I listened to my body and I could tell my body was so tired. My immune system was feeling a bit compromised. Mm-hmm. And I thought it's not wise for actually me to go to the gym today and work out. So guys, hear us on this. When we say, you know, take care of your physical body and your mental, your emotional, all these things. Yesterday, it would not have been wise for me to even go to the gym. It was better for me to go to bed early and get rest. So maybe I'll go today. So things to think about. We're always learning. And so I hope that this conversation with Todd today, have you guys think about, give yourself some credit, give yourself some grace, but rest is critical. It will show itself with some cracks initially, and you don't want to get to the point of hitting a brick wall. I want to thank you, Todd, for this time today. And today's Real Life Mentoring Podcast is brought to you by the Shelter Insurance, the Aaron Reese Agency. Aaron's agency offers auto, home, life, and business insurance, and they strive to build real life relationships with all their customers. And I know this for a fact because he's my agent. So we're very grateful for the corporate sponsor today. Guys, if you enjoy this, please subscribe and share it with others, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks.